Online money transfer service TransferWise promises faster and cheaper way to send money abroad. Founded in 2011 by Estonians David Hinrikas and Kristo Karman, the London-based company has grown to become one of Europe's most valuable startups. TransferWise processes about $5 billion of transactions each month, serving over 6 million people globally, and it is ramping up expansion in Asia. The latest, Malaysia.
All right, thank you, Tavid, for joining us on this show, and congratulations on launching TransferWise in Malaysia. So Malaysia, I understand, is the fourth country in Asia after Japan, Singapore, and Hong Kong. So let's start with that. Why Malaysia?
So we are a very customer-driven organization. So we typically go out and look at the customers in prospective countries. And when looking at Malaysia, we had more than 15,000 people who had signed up to TransferWise saying, we'd like you to come to Malaysia. So we took that as a very strong signal to come here. But also, I mean, Malaysia is a very sizable country. There's a large population that needs TransferWise. So, you know, we're very excited that we're here and live now.
Who are your target customers in Malaysia, if you can share with us?
So we're looking at anyone who has a need to send money abroad. So whether it could be expat workers who have come to Malaysia, who are working here and sending money back home, it is Malaysian families whose children might be studying abroad. So there are lots of different use cases. You know, we love to support all of this.
So we would say that most of the 15,000 customers in Malaysia so far, they are mostly from the migrant workers or students.
So 15,000 is a cross section of all of the different people who need us. We don't have a breakdown, and you know, we don't particularly care if you're using us to send money to your child who is studying in the UK, or maybe you're sending money back to Bangladesh or Pakistan. Like, it's all, you know, for us it's all the same. So it's you know, anyone who needs to send money abroad, or people who receive money from abroad. You know, maybe you're talking about freelancers who are based in Malaysia who are working for customers in US, in Europe, so in Australia. So you know, anyone who is sending or receiving money abroad is a target customer for TransferWise.
And at this point in time, you're targeting consumers, but I understand that eventually you would like to move into the business section as well. Can you tell us about the growth plans you have for Malaysia?
Yes, so people in Malaysia have been able to receive money with TransferWise for a couple of years already. Okay. So now today we are launching so that you can send money as a consumer from Malaysia. And unfortunately, we can only start with consumers, so we'll be adding support for businesses soon, and also then continuing to look at how can we bring other TransferWise services to Malaysia. So we have a product which we call the Borderless Account. Mm-hmm. So you get a debit card that you can use to pay overseas, and gives you a local account where you can keep a balance. So that's now in Asia, it's available in Singapore. We launched that just recently, and we're hoping in the future to bring this to Malaysia as well.
Okay, so do you have target in mind when that would happen?
We don't have a time frame to share yet.
Okay, and what would be the constraints at the moment to bring that in, if you can share with us?
So it's really about moving step by step. You know, it has quite a bit to do with regulation. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that we have the right regulatory setup. But also it's just a question of, you know, everything needs resources and we need to prioritize things. So we start by going live with one service for consumers. And we'll look at the reception, we'll grow this, and then we'll continue rolling out more things. That's kind of the path we've taken in every other country as well. You know, we launched in Singapore two, three years ago. Now we brought the card set, you know, the card is still rolling out globally.
Okay. But there is a limit for transactions so far in Malaysia. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, the limit is 30,000 ringgit per day for consumers.
For what about, you mentioned, I think during the presentation, there's a 5,000 limit as well. What was
yes,
that?
Okay. So the limit is 30,000 ringgit for consumers, and then if you are classified as an expatriate worker, then it's 5,000 ringgit. During my Skype journey, I moved from Estonia to London. And what happened then is that I was still getting my salary paid in Estonia. So every month, I go to the bank in Estonia, I tell them, hello, I would like to transfer 1,000 euros from Estonia to London. And they tell me, yes, Mr. Tavet, we're happy to do this. It's going to cost you 25 euros. You know, I kind of look at the 25 euros. It's a bit much, but you know, what choice do I have? So I say, yes, let's do it. you know, I go on Google, I look, 1,000 euros should end up being £750. So kind of think, okay, I'll get £750 in London. So I go to London, I go to my bank, I look at my bank statement, and I see two surprises. The first one is, the money took 3, 4, sometimes 5 days to arrive. You know, emails go instantaneously. Why does my money take so long? Doesn't quite make sense. The second one was, you know, when I saw it, you know, based on looking on Google, I should get £750. I got 700. I was puzzling, and then kind of started digging into it and realized that the exchange rate that the banks use is very different compared to the exchange rates that you can see on Google. It turns out that banks have a 3, 4, 5% markup on the exchange rate that they do not tell you about. They tell you it costs 25 euros, yet they take another 4% on the exchange rate. So all in all, if you send 1,000 euros, you typically lose between 5 and 10% depending on how bad your bank is. I was pretty frustrating because it's a lot of money. So around the time I met Christo, another nice Estonian guy, he was living in London and he was sending some money back to Estonia. And he had the same experience. He went to a bank, he had to stand in line 1 hour, 1 hour, and then the rest was the same. So we kind of, you know, met and started talking about it and realized, wait a moment, maybe we can help each other. So next month, I transferred money from my account in Estonia to his account in Estonia. And he transferred money from his account in London to my account in London. We looked at Google for the exchange rate, and both of these transfers are free, are local transfers, so they're free and fast. So boom, very quickly, we had saved thousands of pounds in bank fees. And we had this great feeling of having cheated our bank. You know, typically your bank cheats you, so we had this great victorious feeling. And that kind of made us think that, there are hundreds of millions of people all around the world who need to send or receive money overseas. And say don't have this trusted friend abroad, because they have to use their bank. Mm-hmm. And say are subject to the poor service and high fees. So we thought we can do something to help these people. So we went about it in a very entrepreneurial way. We built a service, we got the first license from the FCA in the UK, and then in 2011, January, we launched it. You know, we didn't quite know what to do back then, so we got in touch with a blog called TechCrunch, and TechCrunch wrote an article saying, TransferWise, a Skype of money transfer. And then 15 minutes after the article, the first customer sent us £2,000. That was the moment of, oh, wow, what do we do now? So, and as I say, the rest is history. In 2011, it was me and Christo. We were part-time when we launched it. You know, today we're 1,800 people all around the world, and it still feels like it's just the beginning.
How do you build that trust?
You build trust by having a great service that people recommend. So basically, by having a service which is so different to a bank, people use TransferWise and they end up with a wow moment. It worked, I got my money, I got it so quickly, I saved so much money. And then they tell their friends about it. You know, the best recommendation is that comes from a friend. 75% of TransferWise customers come because a friend tells them about TransferWise.
So it's really word of mouth.
Yeah. And that only works because we have a product which is 10 times better than the alternative you get from banks.
Well, TransferWise allows money transfer up to 4 to 5 times cheaper than a traditional bank. Can you tell us how are you able to offer better rates compared to the standard banks?
I think the core reason comes down to that we have rebuilt the financial systems the way it should be done today. You know, if you look at banks, and you know, the way banks do it is, you know, you have people in the back office moving papers from one pile to another, and then there's a mainframe computer in the basement that helps them. You know, we have rebuilt TransferWise now the way it should work. So using lots of technology, you know, the only branch you need is your smartphone in your pocket. We don't have a branch network to support. That's kind of why we can do it so much cheaper and so quickly, you know, and really focusing on the customer experience, focusing on transparency. You know, we make exchange at the mid-market rate you can see on Google. We very clearly tell you how much we're charging for it.
And how are you able to confidently offer cheaper rates than the traditional banks and money service providers in the future? Because if you look at how banks are now coming clean about hidden costs and transaction fees, and in part due to pressure from guys like you, you know, fintech players. So how does TransferWise continue to have an edge against incumbents like that? Because they are now realizing that, hey, you got to be more transparent to customers. You got to lower down your fees.
So if you look at, say, incumbents, actually, because of the way, say, operate, because they are not the technology company, it costs them much more to do what we're doing. Okay? So, you know, while in parts they're charging lots more and they're also making lots more money on it, the reality is that the cost base that a typical bank has is much higher than what we charge our customers. So even if a bank wants to be very transparent, they would have to quote you prices which would make you throw up, because you see it's just so much money compared to using a technology player like TransferWise. You know, we've designed it in a way that we charge as little as we can while building a sustainable business. And if we can, you know, we'll keep on lowering our prices. You know, we've been a profitable company for the past 3 years. We've dropped our prices a number of times. You know, we're really focused on making sure the customer gets the best deal while we are building a company which is long-term sustainable, which by definition means we need to be profitable. So we think that's a great way to go.
How is your relationship with banks? I'm sure they see you as a competitor first and foremost because you're vying for the same customers, but do you see more of them perhaps wanting to work with you because of the technology and the reach that you have for this?
I think we actually have a great relationship with banks. You know, in Malaysia, we are launching by working with OCBC banks. They're helping us do our payment processing. Mm-hmm. You know, around the world, we work with a large number of banks, mostly as suppliers. So we need help from banks in many countries to access a local payment network. In some countries, we are directly plugged into the local payment network, bypassing the banks. And then also what we do with banks is we actually work with banks to offer the TransferWise service to the bank's customers. So there is a number of new banks, so to say neobanks, mm-hmm. That have signed up and launched with TransferWise. You know, for example, Monzo is a big neobank in UK, number 26, a big neobank in Europe. If you use them, the TransferWise service comes inside their bank. Like the last one we launched was Up Bank in Australia. We just launched a couple of banks in the US. We also have the second biggest bank in France, which has 16 million customers, whom we have signed a contract with, who is going to be implementing TransferWise and offering to their customer base. So we think there are banks who feel that you know, if they wanna provide the best-in-class service to their customers, they need to partner with the best-in-class service providers for different products.
In Malaysia, are you looking at partnering with more banks or money service providers as a part of your growth strategy?
Yes, we would love to work with them, and we're open for discussions.
Well, financial services is a very regulated space. What are the challenges for TransferWise when going into new markets?
So everywhere we go to, we have to make sure we are regulated. So we work with a local regulator to find out what is the appropriate regulatory regime, and then we apply for that, and it's a process which typically takes us a couple of years to go through. So it's a long process, but you know, we feel that, you know, given that we deal with people's money, regulation is important. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we would love to see regulators be even quicker in learning about the digital world. Like, you know, if we look at, for example, the FCA, the British regulator, I think they've been really at the forefront, coming up with concepts like the sandbox, you know, making sure that fintech and tech companies have an easier way of going through the process. And actually, like, what matters ultimately is that consumers win. So any regulator that is focused on creating a more level playing field where the end users are winning is doing the right thing.
Now, how do you then deal with things, for example, like fraud and money laundering? I'm sure it's a concern, especially when you talk about regulation with banks. And for TransferWise, how do you deal with that?
So we are subject to the same rules that any bank, anyone that deals with money when it comes to anti-money laundering, know your customer. So we have figured out the best way to deal with that is also by using technology. Mm-hmm. So in Malaysia, we are onboarding our customers digitally, so you can sign up using your phone. When it comes to money laundering, we are using sophisticated algorithms to look at where people are sending money. We are asking our customers where does the money come from. So we're doing the same things that any other financial institution does.
So TransferWise has a debit card, MasterCard debit card, and I understand that you would like to launch it in Malaysia eventually. Let's talk about that. So with the debit card, you're essentially holding people's money, right? So is TransferWise trying to be more like a bank or move into other areas of business? What's the plan there?
So we've realized that it's really important to be focused on one thing. And the mission for TransferWise is international money. So anyone who is who is getting paid, who is paying, who is spending money internationally. That's the use case for TransferWise. So we started out by helping consumers send and receive money. Then we added the businesses, as we realized businesses have the same problems as consumers, yet, you know, oftentimes they are getting the same service but paying even more for it. And then as we were working with our customers, we realized that, you know, while we are giving them a great service, a typical customer still needs to work with multiple banks. So, you know, you may have a bank in Singapore, a bank in Malaysia, a bank in Australia that you have an account with, and they're not particularly happy about any of these. So we're not, and you know, when it comes to your home bank, I think, you know, there are lots of banks to choose from. There are lots of neobanks doing a great job. I think that kind of market is pretty crowded. But we realized there is an opportunity to help our customers by having, by taking care of their international banking. So that's what the borderless account does. It allows you to keep money in a number of different currencies. You get local bank account details in different countries, and you get a debit card to spend money with. So we're looking at solving the international part of banking, which no one else is really focusing on. So we think it's a natural fit with our mission. And you know, when we think about other traditional banks, we see them as complementary, and they are solving your local banking needs while we're looking after the international.
Who would you say are your biggest competitors at this point in time?
The competition for TransferWise is the legacy banks. Wherever we go to, majority of people make international transfers using whatever bank they signed up, probably when they first opened a bank account when they turned 18. That's the competition. It's Citibank of the world, it's HSBCs of the world, or the local equivalents of these banks.
Now, when I speak with bank executives and I ask them, who are your biggest competitors, what keep you up at night? It's not a bank anymore, it's companies like Alibaba, like Tencent, and I'm sure you know that they are also going after the global remittance business. They launched their money transfer service, I think, in Hong Kong, targeting more on the foreign workers. And how do you view that them coming into this segment, especially in Southeast Asia? When you look at the e-commerce growth has been rising in tandem with the investment that's coming in from Alibaba and Tencent.
So I think, you know, the way we look at the world is there's between $5 and $10 trillion which moves across country borders every year. So it's a tremendous market which is dominated by the banks. So we're actually really welcoming anyone else who is coming to the market, who is offering a transparent service, a better deal for customers. So I think it's great, you know, rising tide lifts all the boats. So we're all kind of fighting against the incumbent banks. So I think anyone who is here offering a transparent service, it's great, and I think there is room for so many different people because it's such a humongous market.
Right. Well, speaking of a big market, the migrant workers are a huge segment of population in Malaysia that uses money transfer, but they are also underserved by retail banks in Malaysia because they are the unbanked community, making up about 10%, I think, of our workforce. How do you, are you planning to introduce TransferWise to this community, the unbanked, especially?
So we are really focusing on the banked population anywhere in the world. So, you know, we think that's actually where we have an advantage by doing things digitally, doing things online. You know, to attract the unbanked population, you typically may need to go more to cash-based services. And, you know, I think that's a huge market. It's a big problem, but we need to stay focused. So we've decided to go more for the kind of the online banked population. And I'm hoping that around the world, actually, the unbanked people will have access to banking services in the coming future. So I think that's kind of the way that they will benefit from TransferWise.
So you won't be offering any coming up with solutions for the in the offline space? So.
No, that's not the focus for us.
Okay, so which means that TransferWise is left to compete mostly in the digital space. But there's also where a lot of your incumbents, for example, money transfer business like Western Union, MoneyGram, they're really heavily investing into making customer experience better and lowering fees. What do you think would be the strategy to stay ahead?
So the strategy we have is to focus on building the best-in-class product. That's how we started when we launched in 2011. Today we have a team of 1,800 people that is focused on serving our customers and continuing to invest in building a better service. So I believe we have a lead when it comes to having built up our technology and network to offer the best service which moves money quickest. So 25% of TransferWise transfers move instantaneously around the world. I don't think there's anyone else who can do this today. You know, we have 6 million customers whom we're helping to save more than £1 billion in bank fees every year. So I believe that as long as we keep on investing in developing our technology, we can stay ahead of the rest of the competition. You know, if you look at Western Union or any of these companies, they are not technology companies. So I think it's very hard for them to build a product which is competing with a technology company. Like, they may subsidize their worst products for a while, but eventually it's going to cost them too much. So I think, you know, you really need to invest in the core technology. You need to go through the whole stack to be able to offer the best service, which is fastest, cheapest, and easiest to use. And unless you do that, you cannot build a long-term, sustainable, winning business.
When you say faster, so what is the average time for transactions to complete?
So 25% goes instantaneously. Like, mm-hmm. you can be in Australia and send money from Australia to UK. It'll be there within a matter of seconds, which is something no one else can do in the world. And majority of transfers get completed within one day.
All right. What happens then when there is a mismatch between buyers and sellers, a shortfall? Has that happened before? And how do you overcome that?
So we started out with a peer-to-peer concept 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. We very quickly, by end of the first year, realized there's always going to be a mismatch. So we have built systems which automatically supplies a shortfall. So we are connected to global financial systems. Okay. So if we are short of dollars, we will buy dollars. So that's kind of a natural part of our operation. And by doing this in bulk, we have access to rates which a consumer can never access. So we're just built a system which works that way.
Okay, I'd like to get your thoughts about trends and what's happening in the money transfer business space. What are some of the challenges in this industry, and how do you think technology could help solve?
The biggest challenge is lack of transparency. You know, people go to a bank and say believe what a bank tells them. Bank tells them it's going to cost you $25. To send money, and they think, oh, 25, that's what it's going to cost me. Like, if I go to a supermarket and buy some milk, you know, they tell me it costs 5 ringgit, and you know, when I go check out, it actually is 5 ringgit. You know, when I send money with a bank, when I check out, it's actually not $25, it's going to be much more. So I think transparency is the biggest question, and that's actually a question of regulation oftentimes. You know, luckily, we're starting to see now around the world there is a movement that regulators are picking up on the lack of transparency. So the European Union passed a law last December, which means all financial institutions need to show the markup to exchange rate. That's going to be implemented beginning of next year, so really excited for Europe because the consumers will be most protected there. So, you know, we're hopeful that the regulators around the world will pick up on this and also help around that.
Or are there specific challenges when expanding into this part of the world, if you can share with us?
So I think wherever we expand to, the challenge is regulation. You know, different countries work differently, so we just need to learn about these countries and we need to find what do we need to do to comply with the local regulation. You know, I don't look at it as a challenge, I look at this as an opportunity more. Like, you know, we're building a global business, so that's what we need to do. And, you know, we're in 45 countries now, which means in 45 countries, regulators are happy with what we're doing and we're continuing to expand from here.
Okay, so after Malaysia, where next?
Nothing to share specifically, but there's a lot we're doing in this region, also a lot we're doing globally, so
okay.
Stay tuned for more news.
Okay. All right, just one final question. What are TransferWise's expansion plans for the future? Will you consider joining other industries, for example, payment processing and things like that, or are you focused?
So in the money transfer space, there's between 5 and 10 trillion moving every year. Mm-hmm. Today, we're transferring £4 billion every month, so I think there's a lot more for us to do, you know. We're still just getting started.
All right. Any markets looking particularly exciting for you, TransferWise?
There is so much to do in all the existing markets to continue growing. In UK, we have 15% market share. You know, we're looking at how do we get sort of 25%. You know, we're looking at how do we get Singapore to 10%, looking at how do we get Malaysia from 0 to 5%. So lots to do everywhere.
Okay, 0 to 5%. Do you have a time frame for that, or that's just the...
Quickly.
All right. Thank you so much, Tavid, for your time. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.